Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. This is the reading of God's word. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time. We thank you for your word. And let us, as we hear your word, let us truly be able to see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. And let us meet your Son in your word to have fellowship with him. And let our faith grow. And let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory as we hear your word. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we have said that, broadly speaking, the book of Exodus is about three things. It's about coming out of Egypt and receiving the law and the building of the tabernacle. But we could reduce that to two things for simplicity. First, coming out of Egypt, and second thing is building the tabernacle. We have seen how these two things point to our life in Jesus Christ. Just like what we see in the book of Exodus, we have come out of sin. We have come out of Satan and this world. And now we are living our lives in terms of participating in the glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ in building the true tabernacle, the eternal, heavenly tabernacle. Jesus has brought us out of this world, and now he is using you and me, who are the living stones, whom he plundered from Satan, using us, building his eternal dwelling place, the eternal heavenly temple, the true tabernacle. Before we go on to verse 10, which is the beginning of God's instructions for the Ark of the Covenant, today we will consider the additional ideas, concepts concerning the tabernacle and the building of the tabernacle. Verse 8, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Truly amazing grace of our God. He, God, wants to be with his people. That he desires to dwell among men. As we have seen, that he is Emmanuel God. He is God with us, God. That reality is shown to us in the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament. They are the pictures of heaven. Pictures of heaven where God is with his people forever. And all point to Jesus Christ because he is the true temple. He is God with men. The eternal reality of God with man is accomplished by Jesus Christ. And this reality is also seen in the church, which is God's people. The church is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are the church. God dwells in you and I now and forever. Let me repeat all that I have said. The tabernacle and the temple point to Jesus Christ. The tabernacle and the temple point to the church. Thus, if you want to know how the church must look and behave, then you must look at Jesus Christ. Again, verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. The same command is given to the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, starting from verse 18, you know this as a great commission. Let me read to you. Verse 18. Then Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, as an eternal God, this doesn't make sense, right? Because He always has the authority. But as the Messiah, the authority is now given to Him because He has accomplished the redemption of God's people. So all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, ever, even to the end of the age. In this great commission, we see all three marks of the church. It says to make disciples. So there's that discipline. And baptizing them, there's that sacrament. And teach what Jesus commanded, there's that His word. Three marks of the church: the word, the sacraments, and the discipline. Thus, this great commission is command to build a church, that you do these three things, meaning you are now the church, and you have to keep doing this. And to the ends of the world, you are to keep doing this, meaning build a church. That is the same command that we see in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. You and I are called to participate in this glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ in building the true, eternal, heavenly tabernacle, Jesus' body, the church. Let me read to you once again, verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. As we have seen last time in chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, Chapter 31 clearly tells us that it is God Himself who is building the tabernacle. And Jesus says in Matthew 16, I will build my own church. So it is God who builds. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the same with the building the church. And we must remember that. We are not building the church on our own. God is. What glorious blessing is that God invites His people to participate in that work. And that is what is going on even here in Christ and Heaven OPC. We must remember again, even though we are participating in the building of the church, it is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, by the Word, building His own church. And since you and I are the true church, and you and I are the new creation, the building the church is also a picture of new creation. And today's point is that building the tabernacle is a picture of a new creation. The Bible describes being born again, or the resurrection of our spirits and the resurrection of our bodies later, as the new creation. It is a new creation in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The new creation, or the resurrection, is also described as being clothed with the glory of God. Sometimes it is described as being clothed with Jesus Christ. It is putting on the glory of God, putting on Jesus Christ. The glory of God covering us. This is what we see in the tabernacle. The structure is covered with tabernacle. See, tabernacle is just, in today's language, maybe curtain. The covering. That's what it means. So the tabernacle is covered three times. As we will learn. So, if you picture tabernacle structure as a man, or men in plural, and tabernacle or the curtain or the covering as God's glory, then a man or men are covered with the glory of God. That is the picture. And you will see that when God commands a people to build a tabernacle, the structure, they are to, you know, it describes as men holding other men's hands. We'll see it later. The language is that when you put two, you know, walls together, it's how Bible describes it as a two men holding hands. You get the point. The structure represents church, you, God's people. And on you, God covers His glory. And that's what new man is all about. That's what resurrected man is all about. That we are covered with God's glory. But now you are called to look at not just you, but we together. And God covers His glory over His church. This is what we see in the tabernacle. This is new creation. Now, this is how the Bible describes a Christian or the Christians. He is covered with God's glory, God's righteousness. He is clothed with God's glory or God's righteousness. He has put on the new self, put on Jesus Christ, put on the glory of God. And that is what we see in the tabernacle. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 through 53, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." That's what resurrection is all about. His church resurrects and is now covered with the glory of God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 through 24, "That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Colossians 3 verse 10, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 through 4, "For we know that if the earthly tent," meaning this body, that's what Paul is referring to, If earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down when we die, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, this flesh we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, longing to be clothed with the glorified body. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by the life. So, this body is described as a tent, as a tabernacle, as a covering. But this body will be torn down, and the new body. But when we say new body, we're not saying that it is apart from this body. No, this body becomes new body. It will resurrect to a glorified body, so you will have a glorious tabernacle covering you. See, this is the language of the New Testament. So we understand then, you take this language, go back to the Old Testament, and what are we seeing in the tabernacle? We're seeing the reality of the church, reality of Christians who are covered with the glory of God. So that curtain, that's glory of God. That's what it represents. See, heaven is described as a glorious place where the tabernacle of God or the covering of God is covering His people and the place where they are. So when you go to, we read this already, let me read you again. New heaven and new earth in Revelation 21. It says, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the covering of God, the glory of God is among men. And He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. So, heaven is described as the big tabernacle. Because God's glory covers all those who are in it. And the place itself. And that is the reality that we see in Old Testament tabernacle. Typologically, earthly way we are looking at. And if you read Isaiah 4, in an Old Testament style, it says the same thing. That God will put up a canopy over His people, so that no one and nothing can hurt His people who are inside of it. And that's how heaven is going to be. No one will be able to hurt us in heaven, because we're covered with His glory, and anything that is sinful, anything that is defiled, cannot enter that place, which is covered with the glory of God. That is why people cannot enter the tabernacle, because they are sinful. And only high priest with the blood of animal was able to enter the Holy of Holies. It shows that sinner cannot approach God. But it also shows that sinner is able to approach God with the blood of Christ. God's glory is covering His people. And God Himself is our dwelling place. Not only that we are His dwelling place, but He is our dwelling place. His glory covers us. That is our house. That is our tent. In which we dwell. So, simply put, heaven is all about God's glory and you live in God's glory. You and I dwell in God, and God Himself covers us. Psalm 90 verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And this reality is shown in the tabernacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2 talks about the third heaven. And third heaven is a heaven. So the first heaven is the sky that you see. The second heaven is the space. You know, like Star Wars, space. Then the third heaven is heaven. The tabernacle is the same. It also has the three areas, the court and the holies and the holy of holies, which points to heaven. In heaven, God is surrounded by His angels. And this is also what we see in the tabernacle. In the Holy of Holies, we see the Ark of Covenant. We will see about that next time. And on it is the mercy seat, which points to the throne of God. And on the top of the Ark are two cherubim, the angels. So if you go into the Holy of Holies, you are looking at a picture of heaven. You see God's throne and you see angels surrounding God's throne. And that is what the tabernacle shows, that we are able to enter there with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, the first creation, if you will, the creation of the universe, that we see in Genesis. We see that in Genesis 1 verse 2, it says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. From that verse, we could see that there were three problems, if you will. Three problems. Formless, meaning no structure. And it was void, meaning it was empty, nothing was in it. And darkness. So in the first 3 days, we see God forming the structures of the whole universe. Space, sky, sea, and land. First 3 days, that's what He creates. So He creates the structures. Then, in the second 3 days, we see God filling those structures with things because they were empty. So sun, moon, birds, animals, fish, and lastly, man. So, in the first 3 days, God creates the kingdoms, and in the second 3 days, God creates the kings of those kingdoms. And we see the same thing in the building of the tabernacle. First, they are to make structure. So, the court and the rooms, the outer room and the inner room of the tabernacle. Then the furniture which God fills those areas. Isaiah 66 verse 1 says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 2, the Ark of the Covenant is called the footstool of our Lord. Thus, even in the Holy of Holies, we see heaven and the earth. The building of the tabernacle is a picture of the new creation. It follows the pattern of the first creation. See, you are to understand this concept so that we may know that through the building of the tabernacle, what really goes on in the church. Our reality. We are looking at in a typological way through the tabernacle. Now, in the tabernacle, the reality of heaven is shown. Actually, it is a copy of the heavenly one. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 says, Moses, who served a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, for see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So when Moses went up to the mountain, God showed the heavenly tabernacle. And he is to come down and build the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern that he saw when God showed him. So Hebrews 8 verse 5 says that that earthly tabernacle was a copy and shadow of the heavenly one. So through that, through the Old Testament tabernacle, you are looking at heaven. But isn't that what we look at when we see the church? Church is the kingdom of God. Even now, you and I, we have entered the true Holy of Holies, where God sits on his throne, and we are worshiping. With angels, we are worshiping God. Even the priestly clothing, priestly garment, point to the new creation of man. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This new self is the perfect image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The priestly garment that they are going to put on as they go into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies and into the Holies. The priestly garments are called in Exodus 28 verse 2 as the holy garments for glory and for beauty. Thus, it is a picture of man covered with glory and beauty of God. So they are to wear their priestly garment and go into the Holy of Holies. What does it show? It shows our reality. You and I, we are clothed with Christ, clothed with his righteousness, clothed with his glory, and we enter the true Holy of Holy in heaven as we worship our God. So priestly garment, when the priest wears that garment, we see the new creation of man. New, recreated in the image of Christ. When Moses comes down from the mountain, his face was shining. And this is another picture of the new creation of man in Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, all of God's people will be resurrected. And guess what? We will shine. Shine with the glory of God. In the building of the tabernacle, we see the pattern of the creation. The first creation was by the power of his word. God says, let there be light, then light happens. See, chapters 25 through 31 are God's instructions, God's word. He commands. And then in chapters 34 through 40, we see that it is built exactly according to what God has commanded. So you see in the chapters 25 through 31, let there be light, and light happens in chapters 34 through 40. God commands, and it happens. It is built exactly according to God has commanded. And Holy Spirit is the one who gives the skills to these people that they are able to build it exactly according to God has commanded. Otherwise, they cannot do it. So do you see that pattern? God commands and it is? That's how exactly how tabernacle is built. The first creation was 6-day creation, and on the seventh day, there was a Sabbath. Now, from chapter 25, we have seven, the Lord spoke to Moses phrase. You will find the Lord spoke to Moses in the seven places in the book of Exodus. 25:1. Chapter 30, verse 11. Chapter 30, verse 17. Chapter 30, verse 22. Chapter 30, verse 34. And chapter 31, verse 1. And chapter 31, verse 12. We have seven, the Lord spoke to Moses. And the last Lord spoke to Moses in chapter 31, verse 12, is actually about Sabbath. And the last section ends with chapter 31, verse 17, which says, "It is a sign between me and the son of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." So we see that creation pattern in these chapters. This is practically the same thing that we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. "By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." So, after creation, 6-day creation, we see God resting, Sabbath. And it tells us in Genesis 2, verse 2, that he did rest after creation. But even in Exodus, seven sayings of God speaking to Moses, the last one is about Sabbath, and end of that section, it says about God resting after creation. It's not just coincidence. God wants you to see that the building of the tabernacle is the new creation. Just like building of the church is a new creation. You and I are the new creation. Now, on the sixth day, we see what? God creates man and his helper, woman, to build the kingdom of God. On the sixth day, Lord spoke to Moses section, which is chapter 31, verse 2, we see Bezalel and his helper, Oholiab, to build the tabernacle. So you see, God commands one and he appoints helper to build the tabernacle. That's in the sixth saying of Lord spoke to Moses. And that's exactly what we see in sixth day. God creates Adam and his helper, Eve, and he commands them to build the kingdom of God. The third Lord spoke to Moses, we see the instruction to build bronze basin. Because once you go into, I cannot draw this for you because as soon as I draw, I know it's going to be wrong. All the drawings out there, it's wrong. I mean, this is not something you could draw. But you could kind of have an idea. See, it's like a house. Temple is like a house. See, you go in, there's a fence. And there's yard, right? As you open the gate and go in, there's a yard. And yard is, you know, surrounded by fence. Just like a tabernacle is same thing. There's a fence. Then you go in, there's a court. And there's a house with two rooms. First room is bigger than the second room. Second room is exactly square. And first room is double that. And the first room is called Holies, and the second room is called Holy of Holies. So it's like a house with two bedrooms. But as soon as you enter the gate, and there is a court, first thing you will see is the altar of burnt offering. You burn the whole animal, the sacrifice. But if you go beyond that, there's this water, the basin filled with water. It shows how difficult or impossible for a sinner to go into the Holy of Holies. This burnt offering shows you the reality that God is consuming fire. You're going to be burned up. You will die. So the animal has to be burnt completely. Then the sea, that basin is called sea. In 1 Kings, you will see that water basin is called sea. Now, crossing the Red Sea for Israelites, it was a good thing, but for Egyptians, what is it? It's the judgment of God. You die. So this is the picture. Sinner enters, you die because you burned up. And you pass that. If you're still alive, you cannot be alive. But even if you are, you die again because there's a sea. You cannot go to God at all. That's the picture. That sea, the bronze basin, is what we find in the third Lord spoke to Moses section. And it was the third day that God creates sea. So there are so many pictures here that clearly tells us that God wants us to see the building of tabernacle as a new creation. And that's how you must see it. And when the tabernacle is finished, we read in chapter 39, verse 42, Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. So after all the tabernacle is finished, Moses looks at all that and he blesses it. This points back to God, how he reacts to what he has created. God saw all things that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God blessed his creation. The building of the tabernacle is a new creation. This concept is very, very important. That is why I wanted to look at it before we go on to a next section. And even we see the making of the golden calf later, which points to Genesis 3, the sin of Adam and Eve. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all this point to the reality that building the church is also the new creation. And Jesus Christ is the true priest, and in him we are God's priests. God invites us, his church, as he builds his church. As we do participate in the building of his true temple, we also worship and serve as his priests in his true tabernacle. So as we will see how they build this tabernacle and the ministry that they do in this tabernacle, we are looking at ourselves. We are looking at the life of Christ, life of the church, life of Christians. This is what God wants us to understand. Because if it is just about building the tabernacle in the Old Testament, what has that got to do with us? Why do we need to learn that if it is not about us? So you really need to understand how we are to read the Bible. Otherwise, we're not getting what God wants us to get from His Word. Remember, it's always about Christ. And because it is always about Christ, it is about us who are united to Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. It clearly shows us Jesus Christ and what He has done, what He has accomplished for us. And because of it, it also shows us our eternal reality, heavenly reality, that our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us, through Your Word, first learn Christ. Then let us learn our heavenly reality, so that we may know how we are to live. That we are to live as Your priests, serving and worshiping You day and night. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.